Respect for authority. Is it important to teach my children respect for authority? How should I handle that in the home? We're going to talk about that this week.
You're listening to Parenting on Purpose with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm Ruthie J, your host, and this week we have special guest Tori Roberts, related to Dr. Bob Barnes. Just have to say that every time
you're
here.
Yes, Tori's my oldest, which is awesome, and very involved in this ministry and does the podcast. Without
the blog.
A doubt. Huh?
The blog.
The blog. See, I'm at an age I don't even know the difference.
You do the podcast, I do the blog.
Oh, okay. So it's going to be like this week, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I'm ready.
Yes.
Lots of coffee.
You know what? I need some medication if we're going to get through this week. Yes, this reminds me of when you were 12. We're back to when we were 12. And you're 3 times 12 now, so it's 3 times that bad.
Are you sharing my age?
Yeah, I just sort of did. I loved it, so keep bringing it on. It's all okay.
Thanks,
respect for authority. Speaking of which, Tori, respect for authority. We're talking about that. You know, it's interesting. My very first job was at Kenwood Shell, and Kenwood Shell is a gas. That job assignment doesn't even exist anymore. It was in Washington, D.C. It was a gas station where I'd rode my bike at 15, 16, can't remember which, to fill up the tires with gas. And I didn't know he was the owner then. Mr. Bennett came out and said, can I help you, son? And I said, no, thank you, sir. And he just looked at me and walked away and turned around and came back. And he said, do you want a job? And I said, well, I don't know. He said, can I have your home and phone number? I want to call your dad, your parents. So he calls my dad, and my dad comes driving in. And they're having this little talk. And as it turns out, because my dad trained me to say things like, no, thank you, sir, Mr. Bennett wanted me working there. I think we don't realize how important it is to teach not only the words of respect for authority, the handling of respect for authority, but the reality of the spiritual implications. And we're going to talk about that today. You know, we like to start each week when we have these week-long topics with the why. If you don't know the why, you won't bother with the what do I do. First you know the why, then you know the what. And so why is it so important to teach a child respect for authority?
It was amazing. One of the jobs that the behavioral specialist does at Sheridan House, which was my job at the girls program for many years, is walk the halls of the middle school to check on our children. And observing middle school children today, this is a much needed topic to discuss because they are very disrespectful. They're disrespectful to the teachers, to administration, to their parents. And then even just an observer walking by, there's just a lack of respect. I had an opportunity a couple weeks ago to tour a smaller school setting. It was a private school. And just observing middle schoolers that had respect was just a breath of fresh air. Mm. They looked you in the eye. They all said hi. I just had never experienced anything like that. So it just is amazing. It even draws another adult to your child when they have respect for authority.
Well, let's just face it. Who wants that child around that shows a total disrespect for authority? You know, if your child has a friend over and they're totally disrespectful, you've got to decide, do I deal with this, not deal with this, or just not have this child around again? I think you deal with it, or just not have this child around again. And it's not necessarily the child's fault. It's a total lack of training. There's verses in the Bible that actually talk about this and help us process why we need to do that. And, you know, one of the verses is in Romans when Paul talks about in Romans 13 about submission to authority, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities. And ironically, it doesn't really say if you respect them, if you agree with them, and in our case, if you voted for them. It's irrelevant. They are a governing authority because of this. For there is no authority except that which God has established. There are times in our lives when there are people in authority over us that we don't believe should be in authority over us. We don't believe have the ability to be in authority over us. But for some reason, God has permitted that authority over us. For me, all of life boils down to one person, Joseph, in the Bible. And Tori's laughing now. I really don't know anything else about the Bible.
Did you hear about Joseph growing up, Tori?
Oh, gee.
Oh, the only part of the Bible I know is Genesis 37 through 50. Is there more? But he is in a poor authority system with Jacob. Jacob is not dealing with the sibling rivalry. He really didn't even deal with Joseph's precociousness. So what God did was send him to boot camp.
Or narcissism.
Or the big word that Tori just used, yes. And so he sends him to boot camp. 11 years, he's a slave. And even in that boot camp, he has to do something we all have to figure out. Potiphar owns him, but there is an authority figure also asking him to do something immoral, Potiphar's wife. And so the authority training he had to go through, the respect for authority, is absolutely amazing. It's so important that we prepare our children and send them out with that understanding.
Well, another verse in the Bible, which is pretty big, I think, is Exodus 20, which is part of the Ten Commandments. And it speaks of honoring your father and mother. And the amazing thing about that verse is it is the only commandment with a promise that follows. The promise says so that you may have a long life on the land that the Lord your God is giving you. And it is the only commandment of the Ten Commandments that is followed with a promise by God if you obey that commandment.
I think one of the things, then, if we bring it back to the whole parenting thing, because respect for authority, and we'll spend more time on this later, but it begins in the home with the authority figures in the home. And there's a difference between teaching a respect for authority or a cowering to authority, a fear of authority. Respect is not a fear. Understanding that this person has been placed in a position that I have to respond to, nor is a respect for authority an issue of intelligence. This person is more intelligent. They may not be. In our home, for instance, I raised, let me rephrase that, Rosemary raised two extremely intelligent children. And I remember when Tori was in high school, and I remember specific incidents with Tori and a specific incident with Roby, where I realized they were more intelligent than me over an issue, and I had to then back off and say, you know what, I'm wrong. You're right on this issue. Two-piece bathing suit.
No.
I had to back off on
that.
Classic
story.
Yes. Oh, it's a great, yes. And I realized, you know what, Tori's right. She's right, I'm wrong. And so it's not a fear of authority. It's not a cowering, but it's a respect of a position.
And I think there's even a lot of homes that do almost want to teach this, but using shame to establish authority. Mm-hmm. You know, why would you do that? And just harping on the kid to almost demand authority, to put your, you know, position as a parent as the authority, but using shame, mm-hmm. I'm not sure if that's either the best way to, because they go out and people don't shame them either. You just get a ticket from the policeman, but you're missing the lesson.
You're missing the lesson, and it makes you angry. And it just kind of impacts your soul. It's people who use shame to make those things happen.
One of the things in talking to the residential parents that we talk to them a lot about is respect is something that's earned. How you talk to your child, if you talk to your child with respect, you are earning their respect. When you shame your child, you are disrespecting your child.
Or even screaming constantly at them. I mean, then how are they going to respond? They'll scream back because why are you yelling so much at me and getting so bent out of shape? Well, I'm going to get bent out of shape because that's what you're doing and you're the adult.
Well, that's exactly right. The last phrase, you're the adult. And so I think I'm supposed to aspire to be at your level of responsibility, and that's it. We've got such a challenge here. One of them is we're not sure as a parent whether I'm here to be his friend or his parent. And so I don't know how to deal with the respect for authority and stop them in their tracks when they're disrespectful. But then I don't know how to stop them in their tracks from doing that. And we deal with their lack of respect for authority by not respecting them as a human.
Mm-hmm.
We dehumanize the whole process. But the worst part is we blow out the relationship. We need to have a relationship. Probably one of the great leaders of South Florida, still alive today, was Don Shula. And Don Shula had gained from his players an amazing respect for authority. But part of that respect was, yes, I'm the coach. But part of that respect was, yes, I care. Part of that respect was, I will call the plays. And there'll be consequences. But part of that respect, one of them wrote a book about being coached by him and how he would show up at the hospital when you're having babies. Wife was having a baby. It was just amazing. So there's this blend of relationship, but there's this understanding from early on, I need to help my child understand I'm the parent, you're the child.
And there's a lot of parents that also I've seen even argue with their kids. It's pretty amazing. I mean, my parents didn't do that with me. So whenever I see it, it's a little bit out because I wasn't raised that way. But I've seen even arguments right in front of me, mom and daughter. And well, you're the one that screams. Well, that's because you scream. Well, then you scream. And they're going at it. And I'm like, wow, okay.
So what happened
this is
there?
Maybe the issue.
You know, what do you think happened there to get them actually parallel arguing in those scenarios?
I believe that starts as little children. Mm-hmm. I think the line for respect for authority is drawn at 18 months, 9 months, two. I mean, when you take the authority as a parent, you're drawing that line. I mean, even with my 4-year-old who is a lot like me, personality wise, if I allow him, he will argue back with me. And it's very easy to even start that as a young child. So I think it escalates from there as they age, that it becomes more and more of a peer type relationship versus a parent-child.
And then you find yourself with a high schooler that, you know, oh, now they're a little too old. Well, whatever. They'll regret it one day.
Right.
Wow.
And you're like, wow. Okay. Yeah.
I think when I'm not consistent and I teach my child, you can argue with me, it's an acceptable response when I'm not consistent. And it's such a fine line between questioning. I wanted them to be able to question. I just wanted them to question respectfully. And in our home, I don't know if you'll remember this time. I hope you do, and I think you do. In our home, when the kids were growing up, they have a very beautiful, very smart, very high-end relationship, not a disciplinarian by bone mother. And in our home, because our kids were so smart, they could tangle her up a little bit. And because she's so compassionate, she would allow it. And see, I want them to question. I want them to question, Dad, is that really what you want me to do? Is that really what you said? Can I ask for clarification? But when you do that, you open the door to a word that's very difficult coming out of a four-year-old's mouth. Why? 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 And you have to reach a point where, okay, we've questioned this long enough. And there's a phrase we don't like using, because I said so. I'm the parent because I said so. There was a moment where, as I recall, Rosemary was by the sink. The children had to be about 8 and 10 because we were in the house we're in now. And I came in the garage door, and they were taking her to task. And I don't know how Tori got Roby jacked up, but both of them were taking her to task. And I came.
Of course, it's always my fault. Roby may have done it.
It's always been your fault. I grab, because you're me. That's the hard part. I grabbed them both by the arm, and I take them and sat them on the couch in the living room and said, you know, you may talk to your mom like that, but you're never going to talk to my wife like that. And we had to get back to a respect for authority. And so I think there's so much at play here.
Now, can I just ask then, if I'm a parent and I think, okay, my kid doesn't respect me, I got miles to go with repairing this relationship, aren't they going to kind of get over this? I mean, when they get in the workforce, you know, you kind of figure some things out as adults.
Why? Why would I get over it? There used to be a way to get over it in our culture. It was called the draft. And you got over it. 10 weeks at Paris Island, you got over it. There's not a problem. You didn't say to the drill sergeant, "Can I just disagree with you on that?" Yeah, you're running forever. Carry on.
200 push-ups later.
Yeah. So there was a way. Today, unfortunately, the way is your first employer or your first wife does it the hard way. This whole respect for authority, it's first of all, it's not natural. I respect me. I respect my needs. And that's the two-year-old. And they're either rebellious or Judah, your two-year-old. Judah's not, it's not that he's rebellious. He's passionate. And he wants that. And he's going to have that. And you can see his little face. It's not that he's in your face. It's that he's shocked that he can't do that, touch that, be that, climb those stairs, get up on the board. Oh, yeah. Because I'm so excited about life. And it's awesome. He's you. It's awesome.
You have two kids that came out like you.
No, they're different. Well, they're different, but they each have some of her. Mm-hmm. You know, when Tori is focused on something or loyal to a friend, wow, that friend has no faults. It's absolutely amazing. And she's the best friend you could have and the best person to have your back. But when she was 2 and 3, it's, I want to do that. I want to have that. I can do all things through me who gives me the strength I need. You know, Roby would stand by the side of the pool, not jump in, you know, until you almost pushed him in. Tori's in. I mean, going for it. She thinks she's the Olympic swimmer at 3 years old. And so you've got different kids. And they disrespect authority differently. You know, one's passively doing it, disrespecting behind your back, and one's absolutely in your face. But to your question, no, that's our job. It's parenting means training. Our job is to teach a child to respect authority. If I don't teach my child to respect authority, it will plague him or her all their lives.
You've been listening to Parenting on Purpose with Dr. Bob Barnes and Tori Roberts from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm Ruthie J., your host. And if you missed any part of today's program, or maybe you want to share it with someone, go online. You can listen to it and find ways to share it on social media, even ask questions at parentingonpurpose.org. You can even sign up to get this program along with a blog written by Tori. And again, that's at parentingonpurpose.org. To find out more about Sheridan House Family Ministries and many of the resources that are available online and information about the children's homes, go to shfm.org. We hope you join us tomorrow. We'll keep talking about training your child to respect authority here on Parenting on Purpose.